My mother and my brethren are those that hear the word of God and keep it. For we are all one family in our holy church, in the church which is the body of Jesus Christ. Our Lord is the head, and we are all members, one in particular. Every single one of us in particular have our place in the body of the church, so long as we are useful vessels, so long as we are useful members of the church. And we heard in both epistle readings today the words that our Lord Jesus Christ lives in us and moves in us, something which sounds very strange to the ears of the world. And we, unfortunately, have the world also in us. It's as if there's some type of a schizophrenic fight going on, because we are battling the old man in order to take on the new man. The old man is the man of the flesh, Adam after his fall. The new man is Jesus Christ. And we come back to the ancient beauty by Jesus Christ our Lord, for we are made in the image and likeness of our Lord. In order for us to understand and to perceive that our Lord lives in us and moves in us, we have to make our spiritual senses keen. For as St. John of Cross then tells us, and as many of the Holy Fathers tell us, even as we have five senses of the body, so we have five senses of the soul. We hear the Holy Fathers telling us about the eye of the soul. We remember in the very first hymn, which is chanted at the Paschal Canon, we are told, let us purify our senses, and we shall behold Christ, radiant with the unapproachable light of the resurrection, and we shall hear him say, rejoice, as we sing the triumphal hymn. References are made in this hymn of sight and hearing. And finally, we come to the ultimate goal, which is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Only by our tasting and our participation, and by means of repentance, can we see that the Lord is good, that the Lord is Christ. Our Lord truly does live in us, and he truly does move in us, so long as we turn to him, so long as we try to follow his commandments. Certainly, there will be times when we see that we slip, and we are not exactly going the way that we should be going. And if we think otherwise, then we certainly are off the road. We have a lot of delusion if we think that we are fine. For as the Lord says in scriptures, when they say peace, then sudden destruction comes. When we feel that we are okay, when we feel that we've made progress, then the temptations can come upon us. It behooves us then to understand that only by God's grace can we move and can we have our being, and only by God's grace can he live in us and can he can move in us. How are we going to make our spiritual senses more keen? Well, first let us count our blessings. As St. Isaac the Syrian says, thanking the giver incites the giver to give greater gifts. We should thank our Lord that he pulled us out of the world, that at least is giving us the chances to purify our senses, to be made new in Christ Jesus, that he has given us the chance to be able to repent for our wickedness, for our sinfulness, to fight the old man, and with one voice, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to all the fathers, we are told, my son, do not trust yourself so much. Do not trust your heart. For my ways are not like your ways. My heart is not like your heart. Our Lord, of course, is speaking to the old man. When we are made new in Christ Jesus, then we certainly hear the voice of the Lord who speaks to us. And in order for this to work, the person has to have a humble heart. The Lord doesn't speak to the deluded person, to the person who wants to hear voices. But he speaks to the heart, he speaks to the conscience. And slowly, with this process of purification, we are able to understand what it is that the Lord wants from us. What is it that the Lord is expecting from us? Today we heard something strange. even as we heard the Athenians said to St. Paul that this is really strange, what are you talking about? And St. Paul was a master in his art. He knew how to pastorally grab these idolaters. And he didn't tell them, you're all going to hell and you're all idolaters. But he told them, I see that you're religious, and I noticed that you have an altar to an unknown God, and this unknown God I am proclaiming to you. He knew how to speak. He had pastoral discretion. Because he had the grace of the Holy Spirit, which moved and lived in him and spoke through his mouth. And these people, many of these people responded. Some people, of course, said he's out of his mind. Some people said he's crazy. Even as there were people who thought that our Lord was crazy. And people like to interpret the Holy Fathers or interpret the sayings of the Fathers, interpret even the Scriptures according to their own passions, according to their own desires. This is where heresy comes from. As we said last week, sometimes people don't like the word obedience because it goes against the fallen mind. And the fallen mind says, the fallen man says, I want my freedom. But he doesn't realize that his freedom gives birth to slavery to the passions. His freedom gives birth to slavery to the passions. Whereas, when we discipline ourselves in Christ Jesus, and for the world this seems like slavery, we are given freedom in Christ Jesus by this beautiful typikon and order, which is in Cenobitic monasteries. A person is able to come closer to God, and he's able to receive some type of freedom in Christ Jesus. And so this strange doctrine was heard by many people. And the strange doctrine is, our Lord says, love those who hate you. He says, if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and if you love those who love you, you haven't really accomplished anything great, because the sinners and the heathen love those who love them. It's a natural feeling, sentimental feelings. But I tell you to love those who hate you. Strange, very strange doctrine for the fallen mind and for the fallen man. To our ears, it's strange. And this is why we say we have to be able to make our senses keen, so that we understand what is our Lord trying to tell us. And we will see, certainly from our own experience, when we grow spiritually, how much benefit we receive when we pray for our enemies and when we forgive our enemies. Even as we stand in prayer, when we are trying to do our rule, when we are trying to concentrate in prayer in church, we cannot really come closer to our Lord unless we forgive those who have offended us. And this is the challenge. But if we really understand the recompense that we receive, we would be spiritually intelligent, and we would be most willing to forgive all those who have wronged us, if we only understood the profit that we would receive from such a thing. And in a Cenobitic monastery, sometimes there's correction made. If there's no correction made, then where are we going to go? We're not going anywhere. But our Lord is in our lives, and we see how our Lord corrects us, and he tries to talk to us. He wants us to listen to him. We cannot say, no, Lord, I know better than you. And perhaps it sounds strange even saying that, but in the attitude, people sometimes say that. How can we say, thy will be done, when we want our own will to be done? Sometimes, as we read in the Gospels, do not make vain repetitions. What are these vain repetitions? Telling God what he needs to do. We have to absolutely submit ourselves under the mighty hand of our Lord. We have to absolutely submit ourselves to his holy will. And if we see that he knocks us over the head, rather than trying to knock our brother back over the head, we should say, our Lord permitted this because of my ego, because of my pride. And if we really look clearly, we will see certainly that there is pride there that needs to be healed. And we should thank our Lord that He works in our lives, giving us these opportunities to mend our ways, to come back to Him. If we only understood the spiritual profit that we would receive from this medicine which our Lord gives to us. And yet, unfortunately, we are spiritually foolish. We don't understand. But the spiritual giants did understand, like Saint Hieronymus of Aegina, whose memory we celebrate today. And because of the keen spiritual perception which he had, he passed through the degrees, as Saint John, the latter, tells us. We start off with obedience, which gives birth to humility, which gives birth to discernment, which gives birth to clairvoyance, which gives birth to foreknowledge. And this is what St. Hieronymus passed these stages. But we must remember also that the saints are human beings and that the saints have made mistakes. It's something that we just have to face. The question was brought forward to the two elders, Barsanuphius and John. Why is it that clairvoyant saints have made mistakes? The question was asked. And he says, the answer is because the clairvoyant fathers, after prayer, were given some type of understanding, some type of information. But sometimes they didn't pray about every single little thing. And so, in the midst of this, sometimes there were mistakes made. And this, of course, is in relation to St. Gregory of Nyssa, because St. Gregory of Nyssa made some theological errors, dogmatic errors, believing in the restoration of all things, the apokatastasis. But our holy elder had the fear of God. Many times some of you may think, why is Hieronymus being so strict about order? Because we have to come to a deep understanding of fear of God, of reverence. When we come into church, we have to understand where we are. When we venerate the holy icons, when we venerate the holy relics, and by honoring the relics which we have, God sends us more. Because if we're going to make good use of the relics, then we will be blessed. And so we need to honor our saints, we need to honor the relics, because the soul and the body, as you know, are not meant to be separated. In the second coming, the soul and the body will be reunited. And it is an unnatural separation, even as we hear in the funeral service. The body and the soul is meant to be together. And so now we have pieces of the bodies of some of these saints which will be reunited. But God is outside of time. And so already the relics of the saints bring forth fragrance and work miracles. In relation to not judging our brother, because this is what our Lord is telling us, do not judge. Remember one of the stories from the Gerondicon about the old monk who was always going to church late and he was leaving early and he was just very weak. It appeared in his monastic portraits, in his monastic struggles. And one day all the fathers came together and they were talking about the end. Because monastic talk is supposed to be spiritual. Sometimes this is very sad. We get very worldly. And sometimes it's almost as if we never have spiritual conversations. I remember when I went out to Joachim's in 1994, the conversations amongst the few monastics that would visit would be along the lines of, how will we answer God when we leave this life? Will we be ready? This is Chinese to some people. But we have to ask ourselves this. Will we be ready? And they were talking amongst themselves, and so the monk that was there, he asked the monk, what do you have to say about all this? And he says, well, I don't have anything to say about it. I don't have anything to say about it. Why? You, of all people. Right away, you see the judging here. And he says, it's simple, because our Lord says, judge not that you be not judged. And although I'm a weak monk, one thing I've been very careful about I haven't judged anyone. So I expect that I will not be judged. And this monk was wise. At least when we see that we fall into the temptation of judging our brother, we should try to catch ourselves. And we should pray that Satan is crushed underneath our feet. And this is the way that it will happen, by following our Lord's precepts, by following our Lord's commandments. We are all weak, we all sin, among whom I am the first. But let us get up. Let us remember that the church is always reminding us of what is most important for us. And the church tells us with a clear voice, all things are vanity. That as much as we try to build up for ourselves a little empire, whether it's our homes and our getting cars and all our possessions and raising children, and then the children end up being distracted and sometimes not even appreciating what the parents do, we can't take anything with us to the next life. The only thing we can do is try to prepare ourselves a home there, brick by brick. We're not going to take our possessions with us. And as monastics, we have no possessions. And the more we turn away from our possessions, the more we will be able to gain at least a portion of citizenship in the heavenly kingdom. May our Lord grant that we be enlightened, that our spiritual senses become more keen, that we have eyes to see and ears to hear the message of the gospel, that we will partake of the holy mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ with fear of God, with reverence, even as the great fathers. For we know in the life of Elder Saint Hieronymus that from the Trupicum on to the participation of the Holy Eucharist, he would be on his knees behind the holy table in tears. In order for us to have the Holy Spirit working within us and for the Lord to live in us, we have to have compunctionate prayer. That is what Saint Hieronymus and all the saints teach us. Prayer of the heart. Prayer which comes straight from the heart, out of the depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. We can cultivate that if we are wise in the holy monastery. We can cultivate it to a great degree if we are careful. We have this beautiful time of quiet hours. From 6:30, we have our services up until the next day to 9 o'clock, except for those who are working in the kitchen after the service in the morning. Still, that's a long 12 hours. That's half a day. Yes, we rest, but we should also pray. It's time to be quiet. It's time to cultivate isihia. And during the day, we should try our best to say the Jesus Prayer. I told some of the novices that have a complaint that you're not saying the Jesus Prayer enough. We have to be saying the Jesus Prayer. When we are working especially, we should try to say the Jesus Prayer. As we said, for the worldly mind, that's strange. But it's not strange for those who are trying to repent. The Jesus Prayer is not simply a method. It is not some type of a vain repetition, as we said. It is the prayer of repentance, the prayer of the prodigal, the prayer of the publican. That is the Jesus Prayer. And it is a confession of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us then pay attention to our inner life. Let us uproot the evil that is within us, and let us pray out of the depths that our Lord will grant unto us to be citizens of his heavenly kingdom and true members of his Orthodox Church, confessing the faith, and confessing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, one essence and undivided, unto the end of ages of ages.